Hey there, just a quick reminder, we have a mentorship program if you're looking for personalized coaching and mentorship to help guide you to the next level of your interior design business, whatever that might look like for you, whether it's processes and procedures or what services to offer to how to incorporate wellness, intention, or spirituality into your projects. Come join us over at designcoven.com/join. Or if you're just in search to connect with other like-minded interior designers, you can join our free community, also located at designcoven.com/join. You're listening to the Holistic Interior Design Podcast. This is a podcast that guides you as a new or inspiring independent interior designer navigating your entrepreneurial path. Here, with my over 20 years experience, I will share my holistic approach to design with intention and ancient practices, including feng shui, all incorporating mind, body, and spirit into my design projects. You will also learn from seasoned interior designers as they give strategies and insight of how they built their businesses and continue to work in the field. Together, we will discover supportive trade partners, new ideas, creatives, and inspiring artists from around the world. I am your host, Rachel Lorraine Crawford. All righty. Welcome back to the Holistic Interior Design Podcast. I'm super stoked. I've got Michael O'Neill from Nourish on with us today. Welcome, Michael.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We were on a whole nother recording system and it kept freezing and then my candle went out. So now we're back. We're starting over.
New beginning and new
beginning. We've got new beginnings, but I did pull the moon card. So we'll tap into that and then we're going to pull another card too, just to see what we got going on. Okay. So let me relight a new candle. Just connecting with you, see what we got going on, and then we're gonna pull a card. So I've got my cosmic tarot deck, and we were just talking a minute ago how you have pulled from animal cards but never a tarot card. So
correct.
All right.
I'm very interested about it.
And our first card on the other recording, I pulled the moon card, which is all about connecting with intuition, the subconscious, things being revealed to us in new ways. So I'm going to keep this out just as that first card from that first recording. And I'm going to pull another card to kind of get some more information. So let's see what else we got. Ooh, we got the Four of Swords. Four of Swords is about like renewal, rejuvenation, taking a minute to rest before like going into battle. So this is a time to really set yourself up, getting your routine down, getting all the things that you need before you head out. So Bloom Bash is what, next this weekend?
It's the 26th, so 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
From now, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like get yourself all situated, right? Because you're like charging in here shortly.
Well, I feel like that's just such a reflection on my life in general. You know, we had talked earlier, you had asked earlier about what home means to me. I wonder if I could talk a little bit about that, because home is really my energy source. Even though I can be outwardly very social by nature, I'm an introvert and I really get my energy from time alone. And home is where I have the opportunity to be alone and to recharge. It's where I feel calm and at peace. It's where I feel most creative. And a lot of times I find that I need to reflect and self-correct kind of when my mind and actions start to get counterproductive to what I'm doing. And it's at home where I have the ability to do that. So when you pulled the Four Swords, it was just like this opportunity to reflect and to recharge. I feel like that's just an integral part of my daily routine, because I'm not able to be as productive and as effective as I can be unless I take that time to be able to do it. And home is really where it happens for me.
And do you also do your work at home or do you have a studio?
I have a studio, but I converted my garage into a studio. So it's at the house and it's in a very peaceful setting. I'm very much into nature and gardening, and I've been at my home now for about 17 years. So it's a pretty established space.
Yeah.
A pretty established space. And so it's my studio is an extension of home.
Oh my goodness. I love that so much. Oh, and then on the last podcast too, we were talking, I was like, oh, how we got in touch. So I met Michael through the Art Meets Design Mixer that we put on with Sparks Gallery, also connecting with Art Scene San Diego, the Design Coven. We really wanted to create space for designers and artists to collaborate, connect. I was just getting a ton of, I meet artists all the time at events and the sort, and they always want to know, how do I get in touch with more designers? How do I collaborate with them? How do I meet them? So we were intentional about that. And Michael is very generous and donated his services as a gift in the raffle. And we had spoken a little bit about who received that gift. Can you share a little bit about who is taking advantage of that opportunity?
Yes. Her name is Christine, and she is a lighting designer. And after she won the raffle, they had a lighting event at the Japanese Garden down in Balboa Park. She invited me to that, which was beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
And now she has an event in May at a studio, and she's looking for florals to be able to kind of set the stage for the event. And so she's using the raffle and the florals for that event in May. I'm really excited to be able that it's being used. That was the intent, and I'm super excited about it.
Oh, it sounds like it went to the perfect person. This is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it really did. And she, like I said, it was just, I loved being invited to the light show down at the Japanese Flower Garden, which I never would have done on my own. So it's just this kind of connections through these mixers and things. I'm meeting really interesting people, and it's broadening my own experiences in San Diego, and I love that.
That's amazing. I ran into Christine at San Diego with the Architecture Foundation. They had some open houses around, and we ran into each other there, and I know her through other designers. So it's always fun when we get to run into each other.
Yeah. Make connections. You helped make that connection. So thank you so much.
Of course. And now we're going to make another connection with you and all these designers. So with that, can you share a little bit about what your company does, who you serve? And then, of course, I want to get into how you got into all this.
Yeah. So Nourish is a floral design studio, and we create nature-inspired floral designs for interior spaces. Where our focus really, or our approach really, is that floral design is living art. Mm-hmm. And the principal medium that we use is botanical material. So we love working with commercial spaces, restaurants, hotels, retail spaces, as well as private residences, on essentially being another form of brand expression within the space that tells the guest, this is what this particular space is about. And interior designers are just kind of the perfect partner for this approach to floral design, because they are creating that essence of that space with their clients, whether it be a commercial space or private residence. And I think of Nourish as just another layer that they can use in their design, a living layer that they can use in their design in order to be able to communicate that feeling that their client is looking for. So I see floral design as an extension of what interior designers are doing, another tool in their tool set.
Absolutely. It's huge. I just absolutely love what you're doing. And this can help with residential designers as well as commercial hospitality designers. I just did a podcast episode for the Holistic Hospitality Design Podcast talking about using plants and florals as part of creating atmosphere, connecting with their brand. So that's the next thing I'm going to do with you. I need you to come on to that podcast so that we can share this.
I would love that. I
would love that. The business owners, because the whole clientele over there is like the independent bar owner, restaurant owner, hotelier, like all of them. They need to know that this is a piece that can elevate their brand, elevate the client experience, and just introduce you to them too, because that's huge.
Well, that's amazing. And I think the thing I love about the floral design space in this context is that spaces, so much energy is put into creating spaces that are conveying a certain message, whether it be mm-hmm. on a hospitality side or a lifestyle or sense of value on a private residence side. And, mm-hmm. There's really those elements, the furniture, the textiles, there's an opportunity to kind of keep that overall look very fresh and ongoing with florals on a regular basis that just really help to make that communication just resonate even more. And it can go on in perpetuity. And I just think having that design lever that can constantly change new florals, seasonal flowers, mm-hmm. Different structures, compositions, really helps to keep a space fresh.
Absolutely. And also, I just want, designers to also think about this too with their own particular brands. Like when you guys are going into photo shoots, like having these florals in there that convey your vision for the space, but also what you are, putting out there as part of your services and who you are as a business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, huge. Can you share how you got into this world? How you entered this world?
Yeah, of course. It's been a long journey and not necessarily a very direct one.
Yeah.
So I feel like as an adult, I had parallel lives. Mm. I had this one life that I kind of what I did as a professional. And then I had this other life of what I did to keep on growing and learning in areas that really interested me. And it wasn't until this really past year and a half that I brought those two parallel lives into one. Yeah. So I spent the majority of my professional career in product development and brand management in healthcare. So by nature, product development is a very creative process. And I really enjoyed my career, but I can't say it was particularly fulfilling.
Yeah.
It's almost like my career almost happened in spite of itself and not due to any master plan or a strong sense of ambition. I got into this career and I learned what I needed to do to be successful.
Yeah.
But it was never something that I just was super excited about pursuing. The one thing about the job that I really loved was connecting on a one-on-one basis with people. So product is really about orchestrating disparate groups within an organization to come together to build something and to be able to launch it, a new product or a new service. So much about being successful in business is developing personal relationships that help build a team and that team working together to be able to put something out. And I really love that people component, that connection. There was just something about the job that must not have been very fulfilling because I spent the vast majority of my time outside of work pursuing learning and knowledge and skills in design. So I spent years at night school at the University of California, Berkeley's Extension Program in an interior space planning program.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Then I did about 7 years of night school at Cuyamaca College for landscape design and horticulture. And I'm also working through the European Master's Certification in Floral Design. So it's just, I've just been always in design on my spare time.
Amazing.
And so what I found, even though I was in these very disparate programs like interior space planning, landscape design, floral design, they were all pulling on the same set of design skills, right? Kind of the principles, harmony, balance, the elements, line, color, shape of design. There was pulling on like an in-depth understanding of color theory, sketching and drawing. Mm-hmm. And then in my last two programs, landscape design and floral design, a lot on plant care and maintenance. So it was so interesting that even though these were very distinct career paths, the foundational elements that were, you know, supporting them were very, very similar. So about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, during the pandemic, I just decided, you know what, I want to spend my time doing something that I really love. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to kind of do this for the next 15 or 20 years and just love what it is that I'm doing.
Amazing.
So that was the genesis for Nourish. I started to focus on plants and floral design. And what I quickly kind of realized is that my product and brand management experience could be a real differentiator for what I was doing. If I approached floral design as floral art, as a design layer that can be used to express a brand or a lifestyle or a value to a guest or to residents, then there was a way for me to take all that experience that I had been doing with brand management and product development and apply it to the design skills that I had been studying and doing, you know, on the side in my life. And so that's what Nourish is about. And my focus really is on kind of commercial and interior spaces, how to communicate a brand through floral design in conjunction with all the great work that interior designers do in creating an overall space.
So cool. And so how long have you had Nourish?
Just a little over a year. I started in January of last year.
Amazing.
And it's been an amazing experience. I mean, I say it Nourish is just over a year, but like how I was saying before, I had spent so many years before kind of in preparation for it that it seemed like just once I focused on it, it just felt very right and natural, so to speak.
It's so good. Amazing. Can you share a little bit about the process? What is it? What's the process like when a designer wants to work with you on, let's say, a photo shoot that they're preparing for?
Yeah. So I think the what works really well is the designer has a sense of exactly what it is that they're creating. They have the primary relationship with either the business or the homeowner. They understand what it is that they're trying to communicate, and they've built a whole set of both foundational elements and additional layers, whether it be art and botanicals, of how they're going to express that vision. So really it's working with the interior designers to understand what it is that they're, the characteristics and attributes that they're most wanting to be able to create, and then be able to come up with the appropriate kind of color palettes and designs that would really help to reinforce that.
Got it.
And the idea that, you know, also within a space, where are they going to be most impactful? Mm. So whether it's walking through a space with the designer once certain elements are already done, or if it's going through, you know, floor plans, but just identifying where is it that it's going to have these types of living pieces are going to have the most impact for the space and for the guest.
Got it.
And then it's a matter of coming up with what we think are some appropriate designs and color palettes to be able to execute on, and then sharing those with the designer and getting some sense of, you know, sign off that this is something that's going to really be able to work for them. And what I have found is that really the materials that can be used, and the both botanical materials, the florals, there's so many different varieties that are out there that the different combinations in terms of design and final product are, it's just always unique, and it's like endless what the possibilities are in terms of the overall design. So that's how we how we work together, and then be able to, what we find is that, you know, when we are able to get these florals in a space, we'll have a particular intention for that, whether it be to make a accent color pop, whether it be to make an overall contemporary look feel more contemporary.
Got it.
And then be able to put those in the space.
Amazing. And when you're working with a designer, when they tell you sort of the concept or the idea or the intention, are you then pulling materials, and do you present like a concept board, or do you present like images of certain products or things that you're thinking about, and then also looking at what's in season? And
Exactly. So a whole mood board is essentially put together. It's what is the inspiration is kind of the beginning part of it. What's the look that we're trying to create, examples of what that look is, not necessarily actual, but examples of what that look is. What is the color palette that we're enforcing? How does that align with the look? And then we'll look at the florals that are available for that particular season and identify the florals that we would use for it.
Amazing. So good.
Yeah. But I have found that this process is exactly what floral interior designers do on a regular basis. Anyways, we're just doing it in a smaller, a microcosm of the entire space, right? We're focused on the flower piece, but the whole process and the product that we put together, the mood board and inspiration, is very similar to what designers are doing with the overall space.
Yeah. And from your experience with working with designers, what's been the most sort of, what can you give us some tips of like how we can be set up for success? Is it, you know, maybe it's a tip of like letting go and trusting in me and not trying to take control, because I can see designers wanting to like control everything. And it's like, sometimes we have to be just like hands off and really let you as a professional in this particular thing take over. I could see there might be some little conflicts there, or is there ways that we can, you know, approach this so that it's easy and successful for both parties?
Well, I think, you know, it's like with any relationship, you have to have trust in order for the relationship to really work well. And sometimes trust takes time, right? It takes a couple of experiences to know that, okay, when I connect with Michael on a particular photo shoot or to help kind of finish off a space, I know that he understands what it is that I'm trying to create. And he is going to bring his unique perspective to it, and it's going to enhance the space. But that is not something that, you know, I would expect someone to have on our first interaction.
Right.
So I find that kind of going back and forth on the mood board and what's trying to be created and the rationale for why, and then actually completing one or two projects helps to build that level of trust that then becomes, you know, more of a, okay, I can kind of pass this off and I know I'm going to get a good product. But I love the interaction as a designer. I love the interaction with other designers. I may see something, they may see something that I don't see.
Right.
And that input can be something that's going to change how I approach a particular project. So I think that back and forth is welcome. It actually is a benefit. And then once the trust is built, it can, you know, start to be more independent. You know what I'm saying?
They're like, okay. I'll let you do it. Does it help for a designer to come to you with some inspiration photos and pictures, or does that detract from what you're bringing? Like, how can a designer set themselves up to?
I think it absolutely helps to have some inspiration photos. It does not necessarily even need to be floral or botanical.
Okay.
Right? It's just kind of what it is that they're trying to create, the overall mood. It could be lighting, it could be lamp you know what I mean? And where they're placing them and how the light is falling on a particular part of the space. So, but having some form of what, especially in the beginning, kind of getting back to what we were just talking about, it helps me to get a better understanding of what they're hoping to create. And then if I can bring additional thoughts back and the designer is open to hearing how that might benefit the space, then we can have that back and forth dialogue.
And are you connecting with the designers like virtually over Zoom? Or are you guys in person? What's your preference?
You know, initially it could be virtually over Zoom. I've done that on several occasions. And if the space is able to be walked through, I love the opportunity to walk through a space.
Okay.
Just because you get a sense, again, of time, light, you know, proportion. That's just really, really helps. But if that's not the case, then we can go through a floor plan and kind of see where things are going to be going. Dimensions really do help. Okay. So understanding the dimensions of tables, you know, the height of particular elements, both the vertical and horizontal height of space is also very beneficial.
Okay, cool. And then how do you go about budget? How do you prepare designers for how much things cost? Do you have things in brackets? Do you look at a space and give them a number? Like, how do you get that cleared up?
So I have a range depending upon the type of arrangement that designers are looking for, what we think might be appropriate.
Okay.
Of course, the size of the arrangement and the types of florals that are used are a big factor in what actually comes to be the final price.
Okay.
But depending upon, you know, once I hear what the designer is looking for, once I have a sense of where the space is going to sit and how many is needed, I could give a rough estimate that's going to say, look, for a typical set of flowers, it's going to be somewhere, you know, in this range. And then if we want to do something, you know, if there's a seasonal flower that we think is going to be amazing, but it costs a little bit more, then we can kind of go back and forth on that.
Got it. Got it. And so for designers, like if they're doing a kitchen, like a medium-sized kitchen, would you say they should allocate $1,000, like $1,000 to $2,000? Are we looking at hundreds of dollars, or are we looking at, you know, $10,000? Like, where should they start to start? I just want to start planting seeds. So that they can start putting numbers together, or do you think it's a certain percentage best based on like the size of the room? I don't know how you would go about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is depending upon the number of arrangements. I think the, you know, this is in the hundreds of dollars. So not, you know, thousands of dollars. But again, it's going to depend on the number of arrangements that we would be
creating
with within a space.
Okay. And then what's the time frame from maybe engaging with you to execution? Are we looking at like a few weeks, a couple months, just also planting seeds and like planning?
Yeah, absolutely. So the lead time really is going to be around the getting to the florals that we want to be able to use. So usually I would say this is maybe a 3 to 6 week.
Okay.
Lead time.
Okay.
3 weeks would be a very quick turnaround.
Yep.
It would be have to order the florals pretty quickly in order to be able to execute against that. But, you know, 6 weeks is
comfortable.
Very comfortable.
Okay. Yeah. So that's good to know. So when these designers are, you know, we're coming into the last few phases, we're coming up to a punch list, like things are getting in, it'd be good for them to just start marking their calendar. Okay, we know in, you know, 6 weeks from engagement with you, we need to have that photo shoot built out. And also so they can book their photographer, so they can
get
their budgets together, just like pre-planning, because the last thing that we want to do is come in rushed and putting pressure on everyone and anyone that's involved in this, because that doesn't create an atmosphere for creativity or for things to be in flow. I mean, us as designers know that when we get somebody that's like, I needed this design yesterday, and there's like all this pressure and it doesn't feel good, and we're not like in the ideal state of creativity, it can just stunt everything. So I just want to make sure that designers are thinking about that as well. Being an ideal, you know, client to someone like you and the photographer and everyone else involved.
Yeah. I would say one of the biggest things to think about too is it's not just about the flowers, right? The vessel that the flowers are in, particularly the interior space, is so critical. I mean, that is a part of the decor of the space. So Definitely. It's not like you just are, you know, your only concern is the florals and how you're arranging the florals. Equal concern is what are they being put in and what's the proportion of that to the space that it's on and how does that look in the overall space? And sometimes there is a lead time in finding the right pieces for a particular space.
Yes.
And I would not, I would not shortchange the vessels that we would want to use and the lead time in order to be able to get those vessels.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wanted to segue into the workshop that Michael is leading, which is our Floral Academy workshop, which is all about enhancing spaces through artful arrangements. We're getting together where Michael's going to share, Floral 101, giving us the details of the anatomy of a floral arrangement, knowing your terminology, just tips on selecting florals. He's going to tap into, you know, trends for the year and also showcasing examples of installations that he's done. And then we're going to do an interactive exercise where we're going to create our own arrangement in a bud vase. Do you have anything else you want to add to that workshop or share to kind of entice these designers to come join us?
Oh, I'm really excited about the workshop. And I think sometimes florals could be either an afterthought or they can feel intimidating. Like, oh gosh, I'm just going to throw these in a vase, a bunch of tulips in a vase because it has the color that I want. And it's just simple and I don't know what else to do. But, you know, floral, again, I feel such a kinship with interior designers because our process is so similar. We're working off of the same terminology, the same approach to design. So when the folks come to the workshop, you're already going to have so much of the base knowledge of how to put a good composition together. So really it just comes down to mechanics. What are the ways that you put flowers together so that they hold in a shape or design that really is meaningful to you and meaningful to the space.
Yeah.
And there are both natural mechanics, like, you know, how you use sticks and driftwood and stones in order to be able to enhance arrangement or provide structure. And then there are things that are materials, you know, chicken wire, flower frog, like used in Ikebana style arrangements. So what I really want to be able to do is eliminate the intimidation associated with a more elaborate floral design for the designers because the skill set is already there. The design skill set is already there. It's really a matter of just understanding the mechanics a little bit better in order to be able to execute on something that the designers feel will work for the space.
Yeah, amazing. And our workshop is happening on May 17th. So mark your calendars and we'll have, hopefully by the time this airs, we'll have the sign up link. So you can sign up and get in there. And at the moment, the space is being determined. We're figuring out those details, but it's definitely going to be a lunch and learn, hands-on experience. And you get to connect with Michael directly. So we're super stoked about it. What else do you have going on? What else are you working on at the moment that you want to share with us?
Well, maybe just kind of going along the brand expression theme.
Yeah.
I just finished an event at San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, the MoMA, last week. Entire Productions is a production company that has their annual showcase. And so they had their theme was modern art attack. And their inspiration were abstract artists like Keith Haring and Piet Mondrian. And it was just and of course, the Museum of Modern Art in San Francisco is a gorgeous building. So the task was to create abstract art pieces that really enforced this idea of modern art for the guests. It was such a fun event. And I was really excited with how the pieces came out.
Oh my gosh.
You'll have to check out my Instagram page, but it was really a fun event. And it's a good example of how floral design can be used to enforce a theme.
Amazing.
Right? There's ways to be able to think about floral design as abstract art that really helps to enforce a theme for guests. So that was a great and fun event. I have, as you were saying, Art Alive is coming up April 26th to 28th. It was funny. There was, I think, 81 pieces of art that were are being interpreted.
Okay.
So it's a big event.
Huge.
And I was number 75 of 81 to pick. And there was only 6 pieces left. The piece that I got was like this, a metal piece that goes on a helmet, like a medieval style helmet used. It was, I think, Muslim, and it has a lot of Arabic writing on it. And it's a nose guard, helmet. And I got it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, how am I going to interpret this with flowers? Like, where do I begin? But I'm absolutely so excited about the design that came up. The design is, it's really about the universality of prayer and why we turn to prayer in terms of fear and uncertainty. And it's not at all where I was originally thinking how I would interpret piece of metal, but I'm really excited about putting that together and then showing that at the end of the month. And then we have your event, the workshop in May, and working with Christine at the gallery in May. So
amazing.
Yeah, those are some of the things that are coming up that I'm excited about.
So cool. I absolutely love it. How can art designers work with you? Where can they find you? Email, website, Instagram, any and all?
Yeah. So Instagram and email are both Designs by Nourish. So the company name is Nourish. Designs by Nourish is our Instagram and website. There's a contact form on the website.
Cool.
So it's a very open-ended contact form. If you already have a concept in mind, you kind of know what it is that you want. If you just fill out the contact form, it's at the bottom of the page, the main page. I can get it that way. I also have my email and my phone number on the website. And if you're maybe just not ready to say, okay, this is what I want, but I think this is something we can work on, just pick up the phone, call me, or send me an email. And I will get back to you very quickly.
Amazing. Amazing. I absolutely love it. And last question is, what are you doing to keep centered, grounded, present?
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a really good question. I think if you had told me in 2020 that this is what I would be doing now, I would not have believed it. And I'm not even sure I would have voluntarily chosen it.
Oh my gosh.
Meaning, when your life goes through a pretty significant change, you lose things that you love. Mm-hmm. And, it's hard to voluntarily say, I'm just going to let something, I'm moving on from something, or I'm losing something.
Yeah.
But now that I'm here, it's that adage, once something shut, other doors open. Yep. I feel so blessed and so thankful that my life path has gone down something and pursuing something that I love so much. And it's kind of scary, starting a new business and doing this, and a little bit unsettling. And I find that it's worse at night. You know what I mean? When your subconscious kind of like, let's go. You're not in control of your mind. And all of a sudden you're like, ah. So exercise for sure. I definitely, first thing in the morning, whether it's yoga or running or boot camp, it just helps to get my body going. It helps me to clear my head and reset essentially for the day. And then I just always set an intention. Yeah. And a lot of times the intention can be living without fear, living in love, believing, hope, you know what I mean? Those types of things. And once I have that intention, it's like a 15 or 20 minute mindset. Then I just go through my to-do list and I say, okay, what am I going to do today?
Yeah.
That's going to, you know, really fulfill my business and my intention. And I say that, I share all that because it's conscious.
Yeah.
Your life is conscious. And I think sometimes it's not always easy, but you find ways to be able to address it and be successful. And so exercise and intention is the way that I do it.
Amazing. I love it. Thank you for that. So good. All right. Well, was there anything else you wanted to add before we closed out our episode?
Yeah, I guess maybe for this group. Well, yeah. First of all, thank you.
Oh, thank of course.
You for having me on. Thank you for setting up that mixer where we got to meet and giving folks an opportunity to connect with one another. I really appreciate it, and I benefited from it. And what I would say to you and to the group as well, look, my desire is to be a trusted resource to help you be successful. And whatever I can do to build that trust with you and with other interior designers in the community, I want to be able to do. I think there's an amazing synergy between the work that you do and what I'm doing from a floral art and design perspective. And I think we could be really successful in bringing those pieces together. And so I'm excited about it. And I'm excited to get to know your team, to get to know your colleagues and help everyone be successful.
Amazing. I love it so much. I'm so glad I got to meet you and have you part of our resource team of creatives and cool people that we get to play and have fun with. So
great.
Love it.
I feel the same way. Thank you so much.
Of course. You've been listening to the Holistic Interior Design Podcast. If it's one that you have been enjoying, please share with anyone else that you think can benefit from this knowledge, and leave us a 5-star review. That helps us get seen and found by other new and aspiring interior designers. And if you're looking for mentorship, I invite you to join our club here at the Design Coven. It's a bridge between school and real life interior design. We get in much deeper there. We have virtual and in-person events, so everyone is welcome. You don't need to have a design degree to be part of it, just an interest in holistic interior design. I also want to thank our editor, Marcy Ferry, and lastly, Kinseth Thibodeau, who is our music composer. Until next time, be well, and we will see each other soon.